From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here saying hello once again and welcome in the Saviour's name to our gospel program. I'm glad that you're listening in and I hope that you'll continue to listen for the next 15 minutes as we let the Bible speak. Here to do just that is the Reverend Ivan Foster.
We're delighted to have your company. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 23, the verses 39 to 43 in a few minutes as we take up our study of the seven sayings of Christ upon the cross. We're looking at the second of those sayings in which the Saviour demonstrates His power to save. That's in a moment or two. But first of all, here's the third extract from the sermon we preached some time ago, The Tragedy That Follows Failure to Stop at God's Red Light. You remember that we indicated that the subject was suggested to us by the terrible accident at Paddington Station in London. The full tape is available to anyone who contacts us, absolutely free. Now, here's that third extract from the sermon preached on the tragedy that follows failure to stop at God's red light.
But let us learn something else from that horrific accident in London. We can learn that despite the signal, many died, and died terribly, died a most terrible death. So many sinners live and die in defiance of the warning of the gospel. No matter how many times they were told, they just went right on ahead, like that driver, straight through the red light. Why do they do it? We don't know why the driver of that train did it. We don't know if he saw the signal or not. He ought to have been able to see the signal. It was his duty to see the signal. They were there for him to see and obey. We don't know why he went through it, but I tell you this, when sinners defy the red light of God's truth, they do it because of unbelief. You see, they do not believe God. When God gives them the warning, they don't believe there's danger ahead. When God speaks of damnation, they don't believe it. That's why they sail on. You're not saved tonight. You've been told time and time again, by this preacher at least, never mind visiting preachers and evangelists, and those perhaps you have heard in other places. You have been told so many times of the danger, but you have gone out rejecting the warning. Why? Because you don't believe that it will happen. You don't believe the warning. You don't believe there is danger, as the gospel suggests. Aye, and more than suggests, clearly states that there is. Maybe the driver said, there's that old signal malfunctioning once again. There's that old red light on again. I thought that fixed it. Maybe that's what he thought. So he went through it, thinking it shouldn't have been red, thinking it was some sort of a technical fault that the light was showing red when it ought not to. Listen, that can happen with railway signals, but it doesn't happen with God. When God shows the red light warning in the gospel, He's not making a mistake. He's not telling you about something that doesn't really exist. When God says there's danger ahead for the sinner, believe me, there is, my friend.
You've just been listening to an extract from the sermon that we preached in our church some time ago, The Tragedy That Follows Failure to Stop at God's Red Light. The full sermon is absolutely free. You have only to contact us. Now please follow in your Bible as we read from the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 23 and the verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We're looking at the second of the seven sayings of Christ upon the cross. This second statement is made to one of those who is crucified alongside him. Last week we pointed out the difference between the two thieves. One was looking just to get down from the cross and get back to the old life that he had been living. And so he says to Christ, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other thief, though but a few minutes before he had shared in the worldly, sinful views of his companion, and this is borne out by Matthew's record of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 44, these words are recorded. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And this refers to the mocking of the Jewish leaders of the Saviour, even as he was nailed to the cross. And the thieves joined in that mocking. But a change has come over one of them, and he disassociates himself from his companion's evil sneering, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. No, this second thief has come under the saving influence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his thoughts are not of getting back to the old life and the sins of that old life. No, his thoughts now are of eternity and the kingdom of God and his place in that kingdom, if a place for him may be granted. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Even as he was nailed to the cross, even as he was dying there in humiliation and shame, Jesus was powerful to save. Is it not most remarkable that this second thief should look upon Jesus Christ on the cross and say, Lord? After all, when you think of the circumstances that surrounded the Saviour at this time, it is most remarkable indeed that that thief saw Jesus Christ as the Lord of glory. He was looking on one who had been rejected by the people of Israel. He was looking on one who had been condemned to die. He was looking on one who was physically weak and exhausted. He was looking on one who was ridiculed and mocked. He was looking on one who had been forsaken by his band of followers. He was looking on one who was dying, and yet he saw in Jesus Christ the Lord of glory. Bless God, the Lord Jesus can reveal himself in all his power to the poor sinner. Again, I want you to notice that the conversion took place before any of the miraculous events that surrounded the crucifixion. If you read further down in Luke chapter 23, we are told in verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, that is, noon, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. But this man spoke to Christ, asking to be accepted into his kingdom, before that miraculous event. In verse 45, we read that the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. We read in verse 47, Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. But before these events had taken place, the dying thief had gazed upon the countenance of the one rejected by Israel and said, Lord, remember me. In Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 51, we are told of rocks rending and of the dead coming forth at the time of the Saviour's crucifixion. But before that happened, the dying thief looked upon the Saviour and called him Lord. No, it was not the influence of the miraculous events that surrounded the crucifixion that brought about this change. It was the inward workings of grace in that thief's heart. It was in such circumstances that one of the world's greatest conversions took place. I think God saved the dying thief in order to set forth the mighty power of the Saviour at that hour when men saw him to be at his weakest. Oh, Jesus wasn't weak to save when on the cross. On the cross, Jesus was mighty to save. Men may have looked upon him and laughed at him as they did. He appeared to be so weak. But, oh, my dear friend, it is in the dying of Christ that the power of God is put forth to the saving of men and women. It is the crucified one who saves. And God underscores this at the cross. It's the sight of the crucified Saviour that will bring the sinner to repentance. Preachers, or at least many of them, today, sadly, hold to the view that they can impress people with their words. They can impress people by setting forth high religious ideals. They can impress people by wonderful arguments, full of logic. But that's not the means by which the heart of the hardened sinner is melted. It's a sight of Christ upon the cross. That was the secret of the conversion of the dying thief. He saw one hanging on the tree in agonies and blood, and the sight melted his heart. May God give you a sight tonight of Christ on the cross, and may you be saved. May you pray like that thief, "Lord, remember me." You must make an appeal to God on behalf of yourself and ask him to save you for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. May you be able to say, in the words of that well-known hymn, "I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary." Trust in the Saviour and obtain a place in his kingdom. We'll continue our study next week. I hope that you'll join with us then.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.